Thanks for joining Impact Boom. On this episode,
what you can ask for in terms of impact measurement can be different because that organization has aged and now they have different things that they can provide. So don't be too rigid creating one profile for your entire organization that's going to be the do-it-all. Really create different sets of profiles for different support programs.
Welcome to impactboom.org. We search the globe to find the people, stories, ideas, and inspiration to help you create maximum positive impact. Each week, Impact Boom brings you thought-provoking interviews with world-leading practitioners passionate about creating positive social change. These designers, social entrepreneurs, educators, innovators, thinkers, and doers share their projects, initiatives, thoughts, and insights on creating a better world. You can find all the stories, links, and other great content at impactboom.org. Follow us on Facebook or Twitter for the latest updates, or subscribe to the newsletter or on iTunes.
Thanks for listening to episode 467 of Impact Boom. My name's Indio Miles, and I'm passionate about communicating the initiatives and enterprises causing sustainable and positive change globally. Today, we're speaking with Laura Krominga. Laura Krominga, an experienced social entrepreneurship consultant, has been involved in the field for over a decade. She is particularly focused on impact investing, scaling, and building ecosystems, and works with consultancies, public administration, and foundations. One of her key interests is helping public administration recognize and utilize social innovation to improve public services. To enhance the knowledge of public servants, Laura co-founded a community for public administration employees and works as a guest lecturer at various universities, sharing her knowledge and inspiring the next generation of policymakers. With a bachelor's degree in international tourism management, a master's degree in international business management, and lots of experience across India, Chile, Spain, and England, Laura has always enjoyed building bridges between seemingly distant worlds. On today's podcast, we'll be discussing the aspects of a social enterprise that differentiate it from businesses creating a social impact through donations, and why policies and frameworks are essential for allowing social innovation to scale effectively to market. Laura, thank you so much for joining us today. It's an absolute pleasure to have you here at Impact Boom.
Thank you, Indio. It's great to be here.
So to start off, could you share a bit about your background and then what brought you to work in social innovation and enterprise?
Yeah, absolutely. It's funny because the tourism management aspect hasn't really followed me into my work life. So I studied that and essentially was confronted with, well, how is the tourism industry actually affecting the local population? So I've always wanted to look into these ethics of business management and then came across social entrepreneurship essentially through a book. So I read Muhammad Yunus's book on social entrepreneurship and how to do business differently. And I got immediately hooked. The first question was like, why do I don't learn this in university? Then wrote my bachelor thesis about this and never actually worked in tourism and got kicked off right away in social entrepreneurship. Yeah, I haven't regretted that. So that was the starting point. And in the end, in 2012, nobody really knew in Germany what social entrepreneurship even was. There were around 20 books at the time and the community was quite small. So people like the Impact Hub didn't exist yet. And really trying to dig deep into ecosystem building was from the get-go one of my main interests.
Wow. It's a really interesting background. And as you said, there was a massive pivot there from working in kind of a more traditional business sector, like tourism, right? And then transitioning more into this impact ecosystem role, which we find you in now. So it says a lot in your bio that you work as a freelance social innovation consultant, and you're also a university lecturer in your field. So can you share more about what your current work involves and your role in this ecosystem that you just shared a bit about there?
Yeah, absolutely. So the goal is really to scale what great innovations and social innovations we already have. I find it really a pity that the ones that we have that are working great, but only maybe in one part of the country, don't really scale to other parts of the country. So if we, for example, have a great initiative catching kids from a migration background really early on in their school journey, and then making sure that they understand enough German to not be left behind, why wouldn't we want this everywhere? In my understanding, in the beginning, was like impact investment can help you scale. If you just were to connect to the right investor who would give you the right kind of money, and we can talk more about what that is, but mainly the right kind of mindset in the investor, then you could really scale. That was the thinking around getting deeper into impact investment. But then, as you mentioned in the introductions, I worked in England in the Anglo-Saxon kind of environment, and then really wanted to come back and live in Germany, and just wanted to come back home essentially and live in Berlin. And the problem in Germany is that we have a very different understanding of what government really gets into and gets involved in. So things around education, for example, or language training, like my example just now. We really believe that government should be funding these things and should create rules and regulations around these things so that every child has the same opportunity. So there's a really different underlying culture. And so this is why I got into looking at how to scale through government, essentially.
And what are some of your current tasks and activities that are involved in that ecosystem building? So what are some of the projects you're working on now?
Yeah. So the main things that are hindering government is that they have a lack of expertise. They don't really know what social innovation even is. They don't really have examples. They don't know all of the great social innovators we have. They lack methods, so they don't really know how to use this in government. If it exists in the economy and social entrepreneurship out there, then that's great. But how do we get this into our own ecosystem inside government? And these are really the two pillars that I work with. The third pillar, you could say, is lack of awareness. And maybe that is what you are doing, which is fantastic. But really what I'm working on in terms of lack of expertise is trying to make social entrepreneurship more understandable. The criteria that I published last year, one of those ways of how to get on board with social entrepreneurship faster. When you throw social entrepreneurship as a word at someone who's working in government, probably they're not going to understand what you're even talking about. Using things like an entrepreneurial way of solving a social issue, that is not going to help, because then you're going to have lots of question marks. And so the criteria really are a way of making this more understandable for a government employee and get them on board faster.
It's really interesting there. And you just touched on what I want to speak to you about next, which is the criteria on defining a social enterprise, right? And you led the authorship of this document last year. And also, this is how I became aware of your work, right? So in our previous interview with Lucy Brotherton a few episodes ago, she made me aware of this criteria, which I've now had the chance to have a look at. But for the audience, this will be linked in, of course, at the end of the article, but can you provide a summary of what this criteria document includes and some of the key insights that, in a nutshell almost, that you gained from creating this document?
In a nutshell, really, we are trying. I was trying to create a language tool, as I just said, for people who have zero knowledge about this, but you need them. So, for example, they work inside a government department, may it be education, health, or something else, or they are in another government supporting function, like a public bank. They really need something very concrete, basically to tick a box. Do you, if you apply for a funding program, do you meet those criteria or not? So I was really fortunate, because when I started at the Senate Department for Economic Affairs here in Berlin, I inherited a study that they had made on which dimensions do definitions out there in practice already have in common. Things like there needs to be impact. All of these different dimensions, six dimensions, have something to do with, for example, the Ashoka definition or the Impact Hub definition or the EU definition on social entrepreneurship. So what do they share? But they had reached this level of dimensions without making it more concrete. So for example, the entrepreneurial dimension, in practice, you could ask how much money does the social enterprise make and can they cover their costs with the money that they make by selling products or services? And on the other hand, you could ask, is their economic activity even sustainable? Is it meeting social and environmental goals? Because if you don't, and you have this nice and social and green side hustle, you're still not a social enterprise. Even the economic dimension, you can kind of dig deeper into that. And then when we look at the income one, for example, does a social enterprise have to meet net zero? For example, do they have enough income to cover all of their costs? Do they reach 100% covering costs? Or do they not? Do they stay below and they subsidize through donations? The criteria that I created are based on these six dimensions. But then digging deeper, I realized it's actually 11 criteria that you kind of have to look at. So some of the dimensions have two or three, and they come in different levels. So there's four levels for each criteria. So for example, the economic one starts at 25%. If you cover 25% of all of your costs through your income, then you meet the lowest level. And if you can cover all of your costs, then you meet the highest level. And the funny thing with the criteria, and one of the things you were asking for with the key insights, is that people immediately have follow-up questions. Yeah. And then they're like, but if we meet the 100% and the net zero, then, you know, do you have a criteria on how you use your profits, if you make any profits? And I'm like, yes, that's a different criteria. So please don't mix different criteria into one thing. Yeah. And really looking at all of the aspects in a different way, separating the criteria out. People get really frustrated because they always have a favorite kind of thing that they are looking for. For example, I just had a call with the foundation last week and they were like, impact measurement is really our thing. And you don't really have impact measurement in your criteria. And I'm like, yes, I do. I think it's criteria 3A. I can't remember exactly, but they were like digging through so many criteria that they really overlooked that their specific one was in there and they hadn't really spotted it. And so one of the key insights being that you really have to look at all of the 11 and take your time analyzing what's the most important one. And as with the Senate Department, one of their first questions was, can you create an overall score that allows you to say, well, you meet this threshold, and you really can't. So it is somewhat similar to what you have in ratings in financial markets, but you can't really come out at a score of A+ rating. You're an A+ social enterprise. That kind of doesn't work because you can't say, well, the economic activity is great, but you are lacking in social impact. So you can't really create that. That was one other takeaway.
100%. And I mean, developing a document like this, really, you're trying to tame the beast, which is social enterprise, right? It's such a eclectic and mixed field. There's so many interpretations. And I mean, it's very new as far as the movement goes as well. So there's a lot of progress to be made there as well. And I think tying into what you mentioned there at the end about those ratings and not being able to use this document as just a surefire way to rate one enterprise over another. So what would be some of your advice for people who are looking at this document? What are the do's and don'ts of using the criteria, both from that social entrepreneur's perspective, but also from an intermediary perspective? What are some of these obstacles people should look out for?
Yeah, absolutely. There are very critical do's and don'ts. And one of them I had already mentioned with overall rating. But funny enough, we tested this and we had a craftsman fill this in. For some reason, he got sent the link or he found it on social media. I really don't know. But we had made a version to test this with social entrepreneurs. It was really interesting to read his insights into, yes, of course, I have social impact. I'm a craftsman. I employ people. I'm creating work. So in the end, I create employment and these people pay taxes. Why isn't this social impact? One of the key takeaways for intermediaries is you have to look at what are your must criteria, because there will be some of the 11 that are less relevant for you. And for example, the innovation one, some intermediaries are really looking at innovation like Ashoka does. Some of them really say, as long as you create impact, we really don't care if you're innovative or not. And then secondly, you have to create an order that suits what you are doing. The criteria start with 1A. That doesn't mean that you should be starting with 1A. You can really start with 2A, for example, which is the social impact one. Adapt it to whatever you are doing and create what I call a profile out of your must criteria and out of the order that you have. Thirdly, if you are a really big intermediary doing multiple things like a center department, the center department that I worked with, they really had three different definitions when I started with them for three different financial programs. And that is completely okay, because one of the programs was targeting startups and early stage. Another one was targeting later stage. And then, of course, the economics criteria are going to be different. And what you can ask for in terms of impact measurement can be different, because that organization has aged and now they have different things that they can provide. So don't be too rigid creating one profile for your entire organization that's going to be the do-it-all. Really create different sets of profiles for different support programs. So these three things, I would say, is a must for an intermediary. And for a social enterprise, it's a little bit easier. You just fill in the criteria, you look where you stand, and then you look at where you have growth areas. Because even for a social enterprise, meeting most of the lower levels of the criteria, it's not really necessary that you hit an A, so the highest level in all of them, if this is not what you want to achieve and what fits to you. So again, coming back to the economic one, because that's such a nice and easy one to understand, it's not really necessary if your model says we are always going to raise donations and we are only ever going to hit the, I don't know, 50% covering costs. That is completely fine if that is what you are looking to do.
Some really key insights there. And I would encourage for anyone that's listening or reading the article, you'll be able to go check out this document as well. So if you scroll on down to the end of this interview with Laura, at the end of the article, there'll be a link there to the criteria. And have a look, fill in your own enterprise. I think, as you said, remaining flexible with all of this information is going to be a very large challenge. And I've found that challenge for myself. So I just appreciate all your advice that you just shared there. And moving on now, so from your experience of interacting and helping social impact specialists or stakeholders scale their solutions, what common obstacles do you see that people are running into? And is there any advice that you would give to people trying to navigate those obstacles?
It's a really great question, because what you ultimately want to do a lot of the times is finding a solution that is close to your heart. You are trying to solve an issue that you yourself have encountered, or your loved ones, or you have worked in the field before, and now you want to see that a new solution comes into the mix of solutions that exists out there. And so going from that, finding a very local, very fitting solution, to saying, well, what we have found is too good to keep for ourselves is really usually the next step. If you talk about the differences between social entrepreneurship and business, business usually is from the start, from day one, they are thinking about scaling. And they are not really thinking if we live in, I don't know, Berlin or Munich, let's serve the customer base here and then maybe think about scaling later, if at all. So usually people think about this way earlier. So I would encourage social entrepreneurs to think about scaling earlier, that if you find a fitting solution that might fit somewhere else, and really thinking about what this means for their own organization as well, in terms of what resources are you going to need and how can you set yourself up in a way that gathering these additional resources, may it be people or may it be funding, that it's easier for you. So one of the things, of course, is making things digital because they're easier to replicate. That might not fit to you, but thinking about what you are going to need. And then looking at all of the different ways that you as a social enterprise have in terms of scaling, because open sourcing something, for example, isn't really an option for a for-profit, but it is for a social enterprise. If you care about your impact and you find a different way of financing that, then open sourcing, for example, can be one way of for you to go. Really understanding different pathways and starting early, I would say.
Wonderful advice there for anyone looking really to scale their solutions or to make an impact in the sector. So thank you so much for sharing that, Laura. And we're actually moving into the end of our interview today, and I've just got two quick questions to fire your way. So firstly, are there any inspiring projects or initiatives you've come across that are creating a positive social change?
Many. It is really, really fascinating that, you know, I started in this more than 10 years ago and Germany is really kicking in terms of more people getting on board with what social entrepreneurship is. For example, we have had a national strategy published by the Federal Ministry of Education and Research, as well as the Federal Ministry for Economic Affairs and Climate Action. They joined forces together and published a joint strategy. So that might be interesting for anybody who works for a federal ministry to have a look at and get a little bit of inspiration what they were coming up with in terms of support programs. And if you work in a rural area, one of the programs and projects in south of Germany that I find really inspiring is called Silicon Filztal. So there's a German region called Filztal, and they have created a really great ecosystem for bringing social innovations to villages, really, and seeing that they can create positive social impact in rural areas, which I find very inspiring, because usually we find these in urban areas and cities have a lot of problems, but villages and rural areas do too. Yeah, get inspiration from these projects if they suit your area. Yeah, I would say these two.
That's a really great kind of spectrum of recommendations. As you said, I'm also similarly very inspired by what's going on in kind of those rural communities as well. Very different set of challenges. So it's interesting to get both of those perspectives. So great recommendations there. And to finish off, any more books or resources you would recommend to our listeners? Obviously, we've heard a lot about the criteria, and that will be linked in this section as well. But are there anything else that you would recommend for our audience to go check out?
Absolutely. There's a book that I would recommend for people who would like to think about scaling and finance, so that are a little bit more advanced. And that is called Adventure Finance by Annie Patton Power, that I came across when I believe she was in Oxford and I met her, and she's a brilliant person to talk to when it comes to impact investment and finance. And she wrote this book really deeply analyzing what finance instruments social entrepreneurs can use, all of the different ways how you can approach an investor, what finance instruments even fit you and your model. And I believe that a lot of social entrepreneurs come from their own topic background and just need a little bit more of a guide And this is exactly what this is. So this is a guide for any experienced search entrepreneur to get going on impact investment and maybe have more of a feeling of this is less scary. There's an overview of what I can use and what fits to me, really. It's not so scary and overwhelming to dive deeper into this world of finance, which can be quite scary because lots of words and lots of explanations that you need in the beginning. So that's all in there. They have an online resource as well that accompanies the book. So would definitely recommend any Patent Power.
Wow. Fantastic recommendation there. And as I said, every initiative, resource, person, document that you've mentioned throughout this interview, all linked in at the end of the article for our audience to go check out there. And I just want to say on behalf of Impact Boom, Laura, thank you so much for just making the time to have this conversation and to share your insights so generously with our audience. I know that I've learned quite a lot more about the world of social enterprise and the complexities involved in that space and defining this movement. And I think you're a very key player in that. And I look forward to seeing all of your work in the future. So all the best.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been an absolute pleasure and I'm very happy to have spoken to you. And I hope this helps one or two people out there. So yeah, very happy. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Impact Boom. You'll find links to the initiatives, people and resources mentioned in this podcast on impactboom.org. Please leave your comments below and remember, we'll be publishing fresh inspiration and insights to help you create positive impact every week on the website, Facebook page, and Twitter.